You're listening to a podcast from the Today programme on BBC Radio 4.
Sipping coffee in sumptuous surroundings with red velvet upholstery and gigantic chandeliers glittering from frescoed ceilings. No, we're not in Paris or Vienna. We're in the city that gave Europe its coffee house culture after nicking it, of course, from the Turks in the 1500s. We're in Budapest, Hungary, a country that bristles at its second-class treatment, as it sees it, inside the club that is the European Union. Despite enjoying considerable financial benefits from EU membership, Euroscepticism is growing here and across Central and Eastern Europe. It's a case of the honeypot being weighed against the demands that come with it, like hated EU migration quotas.
They want more national sovereignty vis-à-vis the EU. They do not want to be part of common policies.
In Budapest, aptly named Café Europa, I met political analyst Joseph Martin, who just published an exhaustive study on Hungarian Euroscepticism. There's a big difference, he says, between the people and their politicians.
Prime Minister Orban, he is really a populist politician. He needs some enemies. He found the EU and the Brussels as the enemy of Hungary. The Euroscepticism of the Hungarian population, I would label it as a soft Euroscepticism.
We've now come to Budapest's grungily chic, if rather bourgeois, simpler bar. Here, as you'd expect, EU attitudes are largely positive. Like the bar's Berlin-inspired founders, much of the clientele tell us they love the EU freedom to work anywhere inside the bloc.
Many of my friends, my fiancé, work abroad, but most of them plan to come back because it's good to live here.
It's not only about studying, but also about jobs, which are not available.
But 2 hours outside the capital, there's rather less EU enthusiasm. This is Hungarian Roma band Romanga. We've travelled to Ost, which has a large Roma community. The town was a steel and coal-producing powerhouse in communist times. It's now associated with high unemployment and crime. Local politicians blame the Roma and the European Union.
If raining, we must stay here.
Okay. 29-year-old mayor of Ost, David Janicak, took us on a tour of the graffiti-scrawled housing estate where he and the gang he belonged to as a teenager hung out, smoking and trying to set the world to rights, from their point of view.
Every day we were here and sit here and talking about politics.
When we joined the European Union, our politicians at the time promised us our wages would go up. But in fact, foreign goods came into Hungary, squeezing out Hungarian products. The cost of living went up, but our wages didn't. The EU should keep out of social affairs too. Hungary has a 1,000-year history. It shouldn't be governed from Brussels.
Is it Hungary for the Hungarians, your policies?
Yes.
You may have guessed by now that our Oz mayor comes from Jobbik, otherwise known as the Movement for a Better Hungary, the country's second most popular political group, led by the founder of the paramilitary Hungary Guard. Formerly viewed as fringe far-right, Jobbik is now rebranding itself as a nationalist, Eurosceptic party of the people. Sound familiar? It is, in differing political forms across Europe. Far, far away from Oz in terms of aesthetics as well as mileage, in the charming Côte d'Azur town of Fréjus, we meet another 29-year-old mayor of another party viewed as far-right, now trying to rebrand itself as a nationalist, Eurosceptic mainstream alternative.
If being populist means being of the people, for the people, then I'm happy to be described as a populist.
David Rachlin of the Front National.
Que les peuples devaient pouvoir décider pour eux-mêmes.
The French people should be able to make their own strategic, political and economic decisions. The EU stops us from doing that, and that is our fight. Lots of Europeans are waking up to this now.
Les gens qui vous accusent et votre parti d'être racistes, trop nationaliste.
And what do you say to those describing your party as ultra-nationalist and racist and accuse you of using Euroscepticism to score easy political points?
Bon, mais ça, c'est une plaisanterie à laquelle plus personne
no one believes
ne croit
those illegitimate claims in France anymore, he said to me. The sunshine here is glorious. The sea is glittering. Troubled industrial northern France, well, that's one thing. But the reason for the National Front's Provençal popularity is not immediately obvious. Locals in the early morning market, fill me in.
Si on n'a pas le soleil, on est mort.
Without the sun, we're dead, this fruit farmer told me. The euro is killing us.
C'est pas possible. Je suis né pêcheur, je suis une famille de pêcheurs, c'est doux. Hein.
C'était mieux avant. C'est mieux.
Trop de règles d'hygiène.
The fisherman, the cheesemaker, and the olive producer complain to me about a myriad of strict rules from Brussels, ruining their livelihood, they say, ignoring artisan know-how that goes back generations.
C'est vraiment la faute de l'Union européenne ou c'est la faute de la globalisation?
But was it really the fault of the EU? Structural problems in France or globalisation? They weren't sure. Of course, local politics is one thing, but the spreading appeal on a nationwide level of opposition parties like the Front National and Jobbik in Europe is pressurizing those in government to be tougher on immigration and far less keen on European integration. The call to actually leave the EU is not so loud, but public appetite across Europe is growing for ever looser rather than ever closer union.
You can listen to more free content from the Today programme by going to www.bbc.co.uk/today.